And I don't know if there was a moment where it all became real for you, and you can remember the moment, or whether it was a gradual period of time. And maybe it hasn't happened for you yet, but the bottom line is, for those of us who call ourselves Christians, is that it's because of Jesus. He calls us. And that's what this passage tells us about, in which Jesus says to these guys who are fishing, it's in the midst of their daily lives, it's in the midst of just the blood, sweat and tears of work, and he says, come and follow me and I will teach you how to fish for people. Come and follow me. That's how it started for them. That's how it starts for each one of us. And the most important thing is that's how it's meant to carry on. It's meant to carry on with this sense of it just being the next step. The response to God's grace, that we choose to come to church, we choose to follow Jesus, but he first chose us. He first came to you and said, come, follow me. He acted before everything else. The theologians call it prevenient grace. Before everything else, God acted out of his grace and love and said, I want you to know me. I'm going to send Jesus to die for you so you can come back into relationship with me. And then I'm going to pursue you with my Holy Spirit and my church so that you come back into relationship with me. And he says, come, follow me. So every day there's to be this sense that Jesus says again to you, come and follow me. Just take the next step. If you hear nothing else from me this morning, I really want us to be people that continue just to ask God, okay, what's the next step? That's all he asks of us, is we just take the next obedient step in following after him. And the traditions of the rabbis in which Jesus was following in being a rabbi to his disciples were that the disciples of the rabbis were meant to be so close to their rabbi that as the rabbi's foot lifted off the floor, the dust that fell from his shoe would fall on the top of the foot of the disciple. It was meant to be this step by step. I'm following in his footsteps. I'm learning how to follow. And the best definition I have of discipleship is of an apprentice, of being on the job trained. So Jesus says to them, come and follow me, and I'll teach you how to fish for people. And they're not the finished article. They haven't got it all sorted, but they don't go to college to learn it all, and they don't get on a course to do it all. Jesus just says, take the next step with me, and I'll teach you. And one of the amazing things that you might not know is that he's calling these guys, James and John, and Andrew and Simon, and they are the guys that the Jewish system has rejected. So in the Jewish system, the teachers of the law in the synagogues would look at all of the young lads in their Sunday school group, or the Saturday school group, as it would be for them, and in their Sabbath group, and they'd go, who's the one who got real spiritual potential? And they'd look out for them, and around 14, 15, they'd go up to them and say, you can be my disciple, you can be my follower, because you've got great spiritual potential. And they would go off and they'd follow those teachers of the law, their rabbis. But for all the other guys, they would just end up having to step into the father's business. They would just go into the family business. And these guys, it says that James and John are the sons of Zebedee, and they're in their father's boat. And so these are the guys that haven't made the grade spiritually. These are the guys that the religious system have rejected and said, no, you're not good enough. You're just left with fishing. And so, if you ever feel like you're not somebody that Jesus can use, that you don't make the grade, those kind of thoughts that go, if people really knew what was going on inside me, if they really knew what I was like, they wouldn't think that actually I could serve Jesus. If you ever have those kind of thoughts, then Jesus knows how to choose people just like you, who you don't think make the grade spiritually, and says, you come and follow me. I can use somebody just like you. And so there's real encouragement from this passage that he chose these young guys who hadn't made the grade and said, come and follow me. And that's all he says to us again today.
might not be able to make the grade, but actually you can come and follow me. And what he says to them is, he says this interesting phrase. He says, and I will teach you how to fish for people. I will make you fishers of men. I don't know if any of you knew that old chorus. I will make you fishers of men, fishers. Wait a hand at me if that in any way. Right, so I mean, don't leave me hanging on that.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't recognise it after that line, I understand. When I was in my youth group, I don't know if you ever did this when you were younger in church. We changed the words of that chorus, and we used to sing, I will make you vicious old men. But if you ever change the name the words of a chorus, you will ruin it for the rest of your life, because you can never actually sing it in worship, so I wouldn't recommend it. But he says to these guys, he says, I will make you fishers of men. Now, I don't think that fishing is something that Jesus is saying. That's the perfect metaphor for evangelism and mission. It all has to be about fishing. I think what he's saying is, you guys, you know how to fish, don't you? Okay. You know how to fish? Well, I can take all of what you already know how to do, and if you'll invest it in following me, I'll teach you how to do something that you already know how to do, but for me. And you're able to find people and fish for people and bring them in and clean them up and help them to grow in me and be part of my kingdom. And you know how to fish? Well, come and fish for me. But I think if he had said it, if he'd been walking past the baker's shop and he'd seen them working in the bakery, he'd have said, oh, you know how to bake up a cake and break bread? Well, I'll teach you how to find the ingredients of what you need in order to make a disciple and how to see them grow and flourish and become my follower. Or if he'd have been walking past the bank and he'd seen them in the bank, he'd have said, you know how to make investments. Well, look, I'll teach you how to make investments in my kingdom so that people come to follow me. And so I think he would say to you and to me, whatever you know how to do, come and use it for me. I could use somebody just like you. And so often our version of the Christian faith is where actually we just feel we've just got to go and do stuff that we don't like doing, and we've just got to work hard at it, and it's all about graft and just doing more stuff. And it's not that there isn't sacrifice and surrender and cost, but I really think God wants to use you in the way he made you and take hold of whatever it is that you already have and use it for him. But the key is whether or not you're willing to use it in his service, whether or not you're willing to devote it to him, take a risk and say yes to him and offer those skills in his service. And you know, I've shared a little bit that I'm absolutely mad about sport, and so most of my sharing faith with people is around sport. So I just find people who like sport and I say, let's go and watch sport together. Go and watch Leicester City and the season ticket holder there. Let's go to rugby, let's go to cricket, let's watch Sky TV sports together, whatever it is. I just find people who like sports like me, and I say, let's do that together. And we'll drink a pint, and we'll watch sport, and we'll talk, and we'll share life. And then in that place, Jesus is present, and I say to Jesus, would you please use this friendship to help this guy come to know you? And I pray for him. And I share my life with him, and then when it seems right, we share faith. And guy after guy after guy has come to know Jesus, all because I like to watch sport. And so Bridget, my wife, said, oh, you watch far too much sport. I said, this is ministry training, darling. this is at the heart of my ministry. I've got to keep up to date with all the sports, the stats, the progress of the Premier League and all of that. I've just got to know it, because otherwise I'm out of credibility with my mates. So I've got to do it. Season ticket, I know it's expensive, but this is ministry, darling. This is all for the kingdom. So I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what that would be for you, whether you've got an incredible gift of hospitality like Richard and Anne. They're hosting you this weekend. They've just been absolutely wonderful to me. And just the most lovely food and welcome. But just a gift of being able to welcome somebody and bake a cake for somebody or be hospitable in your home. Or, yeah, maybe it's practical and actually getting people and serving people practically. Or maybe it's to do with your children and your family life with people and just sharing life with people. I don't know what it could be for you, but Jesus wants to use you to reach others. And the only thing that sets the limit on that is whether you're willing to offer that part of your life to him and say, please use that, Lord. Please take me as I am. And then offer that to him and then just walk the next step with him. Take the risk to ask somebody to come and get involved in church and hear about Jesus. But it starts with us just saying, use me as I am, Lord. So the question I want to ask really today is, what's the next step for you? What would be the next step in seeking for you to be used by Jesus to reach out to somebody else and show them his love and share your faith with them? Bob was saying that, you know, we just did a simple text thing yesterday. Well, we texted somebody and said, I thought of you and I was praying for you. Is there anything I could pray for you? And people come back and they go, oh, you were thinking of me. They're so touching. And they really appreciate it. Just taking a risk, a simple thing of saying, I want to connect Jesus with you. And I think if Peter and James and John and Andrew were here today, impossible as it is, they would tell you, I'm so glad I said yes to that invitation. I'm so glad that I didn't just retreat back into fishing and say, I can't do that, Jesus. No, I'm a fisherman, I can't do that. And they said, oh, but I followed Jesus and I lived for him and I walked on water and I saw bread multiply and I saw the dead raised and I saw the most incredible things. I'm so glad I said yes to that invitation. And it's really easy for us to be somebody who says, oh, yeah, Jesus, I know you're calling me to share faith, but no, I'm not one of those Christians that can do that. I'm stepping back into what I'm comfortable with. I'm stepping back into what I'm familiar with. And the result of that is that we miss the adventure of stepping out and saying yes to Jesus. I'll tell a final story and then we'll pray. When Bridget and I were parenting our little girls who were toddlers, when they were learning to walk, we would sit on either side of the room on chairs and you'd hold them up, we'd prop them up, and then the other parent would go, come on Alice, come on, walk to Daddy. And she'd walk along, and of course, first time she'd fall over. And what do we say as parents? We say, oh no, we've got a non-walking child. How are we going to cope? We're going to have to spend the rest of our lives creating strategies for a non-walking child. Of course we didn't say that. We said, get up, Alice. Come on, let's have another go. Because you were made to walk. You've got everything it takes. You've just got to learn. And in our Christian life, so often what we do is we have a go at something. We go, oh no, I'm one of those non-walking Christians. I'm one of those non-sharing Christians. I'm one of those non-witnessing Christians. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life as a Christian no longer doing that, even though I've been given the Holy Spirit and the call of Jesus and his love in my heart. And I've got everything to do it with. And all I need to do is hear him say to me, get up, have another go. You were made for this. Let's learn together and see what I can do through you.